It's Thursday, March 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud of the Tech Podcast Network, and you can find that at techpodcast.com. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for you, and boy, I'm just like running extremely late. Things are a little bit insane around here. We'll talk about that here in a second, but a great show for you nonetheless. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Lots of content brewing at GNC. We have finally gotten past the stage of where basically the proposal on how the show arrangement is going to work. We'll be launching a new show here very, very soon. It was quite painful to get through that, and But we'll talk a little bit more about that probably on the morning show on this coming Saturday. So I hope that you'll join me this coming Saturday for the Saturday morning tech show and have a couple of guests on. And we'll talk about some of the process that I went through getting ready to launch a new bevy of shows here. And since I've got through the first, basically the host, and got that kind of worked out, now we're going to go ahead and now move into the two other hosts that have indicated they want to do shows here. And hopefully we'll be ready to launch in short order. I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, longtime listeners of the show, or longtime viewers as well. Thanks for being part of the family, and really, your ongoing dedication and support of this show is really what keeps me going. And of course, the new audience members as well. Thanks for becoming part of the family and becoming part of the Ohana here at Geek News Central. We want to thank listeners from 182 countries worldwide for tuning or listening into the show. It is our pleasure to put this together for you twice a week, and we hope that you enjoy the content. We definitely want to hear from our overseas listeners. We're starting to build a significant outside of the United States contingent, so the numbers continue to increase month by month, so we'd love to hear from you guys. And, of course, any of you can contact the show at geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. While you're at the site at Geek News Central, make sure that you get subscribed to the newsletter. The newsletter contains really everything that I'm going to talk about during the show today. And you can find that newsletter right up there in the second column of the, or actually right up on the header of the website. You'll see a link there. It says newsletter. You'll be able to click right on that. And that basically takes you to the page where you get signed up. And then you'll receive the show notes directly following the show. It contains everything that I'm going to cover in the show. So we want to thank all of our subscribers to that. And of course, if you are not subscribed to the RSS feed yet, you'll definitely want to get subscribed, because we've got the audio, the video, the special media events. We got the morning tech show all right there, either via RSS, iTunes, or Zune Marketplace. There's a good selection there for you to get subscribed. That way you'll never miss a single episode of the Geek News Central podcast. We've got some, got an Apple TV to give away tonight. Where did that thing run off to? I've got it stacked back down here. And we actually have a winner already picked, and we're going to give that away in here a second. But this was basically for any of you that contributed to the show to help raise money for GNC. Basically, if you submitted a contribution of $10 or more, your name was automatically put into the hat. For those of you that are insiders, you were also put in the hat as well. So a couple of you sent in an extra donation. So some of you got in there twice, okay? We want to thank you for that and definitely appreciate it. We'll probably be doing this again in a couple of weeks. And your support of the show is greatly appreciated, but we'll give that away here in a few minutes. Of course, we want to welcome all of you there on the Roku or on Boxy, watching the show, really post-show. And thanks for being over there. Of course, those will be on Ustream and on Justin tonight. A little late getting started, so some of our normal crowd is probably gave up on me already. But anyway, those of you that are tuned in, thanks so much for that. The of course, this is a new month, and we're already into the third. And I want to thank again our sponsors this month. Our sponsors this month for the Geek News Center podcast is GoDaddy, Audible, and Luxor Las Vegas. We'll be talking about each one of those sponsors here in a minute, but really they are responsible for basically keeping the lights on here, making sure food goes on my table for my family to eat. And so your support of the sponsors throughout the month is greatly appreciated. And sharing on promo codes and encouraging people to come over here and click on our banners and so forth is really appreciated. And I want to thank them and thank you for supporting the sponsors. Of course, thank the sponsors as well. Just a quick update on my daughter. I told you about the situation with her broken wrist on the last show. She goes under the knife tomorrow morning, and she's getting plates and pins. The break was very severe, and the doc's going to work on her for a couple of hours and get her patched up. So, of course, I've been talked with her a little bit today to see, make sure she's all ready to go and following the rules on what she's supposed to do to prepare to go underneath the anesthesiologist or anesthesia. Hell, you know what I'm saying. And so she's off to get operated on the morning. And then my son, who is, he's off island. He's actually over on Maui. And he went with his orchestra class. There are 4 days of an intense training and concerts. And so he's over there enjoying a good time with them. And now to top it off, we had Japanese Girls Day today. So, you know, I had to take a little extra time with the with my daughter here. And it just so happens at the very same time, my wife is sick as a dog. So it just is kind of, it's been one of these crazy days. She's on the couch with a pillow overhead. And it's when it rains, it pours. You get ready to start to do the show. None of the internet wants to work. It's... Dude, am I supposed to just go to bed and say forget it for the night? I don't think so. It's like the mailman, I got to deliver. But we appreciate you guys, for those of you watching live, for the late start here. Hey, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And really, GoDaddy is a place to go to get domains, web hosting. You can get you can buy domains over on their auction site. That's where I pick up a lot of stuff. Lots of products and services over there, and I have a whole bevy of promo codes. The CES25 code is going to die soon. So this is your chance. If you're a new customer, have not become a customer of GoDaddy yet, when you go over to GoDaddy for the first time, you can get 25% off on your first order. Okay, so load up, and then when you get to the checkout counter, use that promo code CES25. That'll save you 25%. I think that's here in a couple of weeks is that code is going to expire. It's one of the very few codes that are part of the show that ever that have ever expired, but it was such a great deal. It only lasts for a limited time. But on Geek News Central itself, you're going to find a link on the website that's underneath important links. It says GoDaddy promo codes. And a whole bevy of promo codes there for you to use with a variety of savings. ComSale, you get $7.99 on .com renewals. ComSale 2, you get $7.49 on brand new .com purchases. Geek will get you $5 off any order of $30 or more. Central will get you $10 off orders of 50% or more. And really, that's on a $50 and a little few change, that's a great savings. Great 20% savings, but you can get a 20% off on a 1-year shared hosting account by using the promo code Todd20. Lots of great codes over there at GoDaddy. Definitely check them out and make sure you come back to Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to pick up your domain names. I'm a little bit behind. I got my notification today that I've got a credit on Audible, and I need to go over and pick up a book. So I thought what I would do is between now and the next show, if you have an Audible book that you're listening to that you think I should really check out, let me know, and I'll pick up the book that you suggest from the credit that I have. And this is a great way. This is a great way to get books and be able to, you know, from a bestseller to a suspense to sci-fi, you name it, they've got it over there. And you can get a free 14-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com/CES. Again, audiblepodcast.com/CES for your free trial. You get a free book on me. What a better way to start, yeah? You get a free book. Try it for 14 days. Dig right in immediately. You get signed up for the free trial. Get your new book. Get the iPhone or Android or BlackBerry app loaded. Or just listen to it on your computer. Get started and seeing what the experience you're missing. I think you're going to be blown away, as I am, every time that I pick up a new selection and get a new reader, or I've had one before. So definitely check it out. Audible offers, again, your digital books on tape, really for the intellectually inclined. So definitely check it out, audiblepodcast.com/CES for your free trial. Hey, tomorrow is the big day. We're launching PowerPress 2.0. Angelo is, we've worked through a few bugs, have been reported by the beta testers. This is a big, big, big release. And I've got an info. Let me just share this with you guys. You guys will get the inside information here on what all the different releases are. So let me go ahead and read through this full stack. For those of you that are not using PowerPress yet and are not a podcaster, and on WordPress, this is what you've got to look forward to. HTML5 video player, HTML5 audio player, embed episode feature. So you've already seen that on GNC, where you can actually take the embed from today's video or audio and put it on a different site. So look in the area where the player is, and you'll see that little embed link there. And just like on YouTube, you can take the embed from my show and share it somewhere. And matter of fact, if you take tomorrow morning when the video goes up from this show, if you take my embed and you put that on your blog or on your site somewhere and send me an email to that, I will give you a special prize, okay? So the first person that does that then embeds my this episode, if you embed my video on your site or something or another place where you, well, just put it on your site and send me an email and give me the link, and I'll give you a special prize on the next show. We've got OGG implementation, where we have audio and video support has been improved. MP4 and WebM, his video is now supported. So the WebM has been, basically, if you're coming to the site in a specific browser, when you watch the video on the site, you're going to be watching a WebM file. And it's ideal for supporting all browsers that are based on the HTML5 specification. Flow Player Classic can now play M4A audio files and MP4/M4V video. There's a new video player settings page. There's an episode entry box that's been enhanced. There's also where you can configure the video player on a per-post basis, setting up height and width. We've got an upload image option where you can actually upload your gallery option for your basically, so it doesn't slow down your page load when people are loading your page. Plus a whole number of improvements and some RSS stuff as well that we've got dug underneath, and it's a new spec and new namespaces that we're introducing. But there's a huge, huge number of features here. This is the biggest release yet for us. And I can't tell you how important it is, because the beauty of this release is that we are now going to make it available so that content creators no longer have to put their videos on Blip, no longer have to put their videos on YouTube, for them to have a good web experience when someone comes to their own website. They can go still stick them over on YouTube or Blip or wherever they want. But now when you load my page, when you click play, you're getting the experience that I want you to. It's not going to be the experience that YouTube's encoding features give you. It's what I've set up and what I've made available. So if I screw it up, the feature or the experience will be my fault. But the whole embed ability, being able to take a video embed or an audio embed and sharing that is pretty awesome. So we're pretty excited about that. Obviously I am, and I think the community is going to really go crazy over this, because there's nothing like it. There really is nothing like it on the market today. And in a way, we've implemented the player. So long as we don't have some big bug that pops up, I think we're going to have a huge, huge a bump in number of people using PowerPress and those leaving PodPress. We, you know, PodPress is so old and so decrepit and being held together by really by paperclips at this point. If this doesn't convince people to move, nothing will. But we're pretty excited about that. Okay, let me go ahead here. I'm already pressing on time for content, but if you're going out to Vegas, we want you to stay at the Luxor Las Vegas. Luxor took care of us at CES, and I hope that you will go and support them for supporting us. The hotel's been, many of the rooms in the wings have been renovated. We had a great time at Luxor. Lots of places, you know, lots of offerings there, lots of stuff to do. And the hotel price on a, you know, for your day rate is really inexpensive compared to many of the hotels on the Strip. And, you know, Luxor, a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to stay at the Luxor because, you know, it's 10 years old. It's not. They have, I mean, it's nice. The rooms have been really redone, and it's a great place to stay. So we hope that you'll consider Luxor Las Vegas when you go out to Vegas next time. If nothing else, support this show by staying at Luxor Las Vegas. Okay, let me look at my stack here. We still have a show underwriting special deals going on right now for $250. If you want to underwrite the show, email me, and I'll tell you how you can do that for one episode only. And I think that's it, my stack. And again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. I posted a blog post today over at the Blog World Expo blog. They've asked me to do a contribution over there every couple of weeks. That first post went up today. Their site wasn't 100% podcast ready, and I had to laugh because they sent Rick an email saying, hey, Rick, we need to get your site 100% podcast ready. So I had to put a regular embed up on the website. And go ahead and check that out. I think you'll enjoy the my commentary. It's about 8 minutes long, and it's on the main page at Blog World Expo at this point. If not, check my Twitter stream at Geek News, and you'll find the info in there. Let me go ahead and open up the Chrome here. And does it want to open? Okay, come on, baby. There we go. We're opened up. Of course, big news this week, and you know what everyone went gaga about was the iPad 2 announcement. And, you know, I think every day we're hearing something new with iPad and with the whole Apple product line. So it gets a little bit boring. And, you know, we talked about in the last show on how everyone wants to have a scoop on what Apple is doing. Well, there's so many other things going on. I think a lot of people lose sight. They're they're hardcore fanboys. And one thing that Apple does great is build the hype machine. But there's been a little bit of controversy of some things that Steve Jobs said during the presentation of the lackluster upgrade to iPad 2. And really, they didn't do much of a stretch. No memory improvement, no camera improvement, except for an additional camera in the iPad. The camera, from every account that I'm hearing so far, still sucks in the device. Even the iPhone camera still sucks. But long story short here, Steve Jobs says that Apple is in its third post-PC blockbuster. So basically, when you read the Apple press release, it was a magical device. I saw that and I busted out laughing because it was actually in the very first paragraph where they said the iPad, a magical device. And I'm thinking, am I going to rub this thing? Is a genie going to come out? You know, give me a break. But they said this week, Apple has stepped into the post-PC era of computing and there's no looking back. Sounds like I'm a little tinny tonight. I need to check the equalizer back there. You guys hearing that? Just a little tinny on the sound. But long story short here, and you're going to see how I just kind of flip gears on you guys real quick like that. I know that drives my wife crazy. If it does you, I apologize. But going back to the Apple story, it says, by joining the company's ongoing vision of a different kind of computing with a soundbite-friendly piece of marketing speak, Apple has changed the rules of the game and made the competition efforts not just an uphill battle, but at least in the eyes of Steve Jobs and company, essentially moot. But what exactly is the post-PC world, and why is it significant? Well, this is an article that was a write-up over on Engadget, and this is not the post PC world. I'm sorry, but I use two different PCs, probably 12 hours a day. And where do I use my iPad? When I go to the store, drop my kids off. I use it when I'm waiting in the dentist office, or I'm at a meeting where I'm just taking notes. I do not use my iPad for computing. I don't write Word docs on it. I don't do spreadsheets. I don't do heavy accounting work. You know, I don't do graphic stuff. It's just, you know, come on. There is never going to be, you know, at least for right now, I shouldn't say never. At this point, there's no way that Apple's iPad, iPhone replace a real computer. For some of you, maybe it does. Now, for my wife, she can maybe make this assertion that it has, because she uses her iPad pretty much exclusively. But she still comes to me and says, can you print this for me? I said, well, email it to me. And, or wants me to write something up, because she doesn't want to write it up. Now, with this, all the fanboys, everyone that wants to upgrade to the iPad 2 have immediately put their devices on sale on eBay. And the price has started dropping like a rock. With as many iPads that are being flooded into like Gazelle and other places, they're offering 70-75% of the original purchase price for a unit. They include original accessories in like new condition. So, but what they've done is within hours of announcing that price, they had to lower their trade-in quotes. And I think what I'm going to do is not upgrade. I'm going to wait to the iPad 3 before I upgrade. And then what I'll do with the iPad that I have here, one of my kids will get it, and we'll kind of do it that way. But a very expensive item to upgrade every year. $600-700 every year. I'm sorry, it's not happening. I'm not going out and spending that kind of money. And most of us are in a situation where we cannot afford to go out and for a device that's only a year old and spend $700 to replace it. How many of you are going to replace it? How many of you can afford to? I'd love to hear, you know, really based upon the limited number of improvements in the device, the justification to do the upgrade. Now, if you're a hardcore Apple user, I'm sure this is, you're going to go out and pay homage to the Apple stock price, but not I will not. Matter of fact, I have, you know, we use PCs here as long as they'll last. I have two dead machines over here that we run them until the screen bezels had vertical lines on them, and we had another monitor plugged in, and you just run them to the end. We've got a MacBook Pro, one of the first Intel. It was actually the first Intel MacBooks that sits back here where my kids use. The lid will no longer hold shut. When you close the lid, it pops back open about an inch. But we'll run that thing until it explodes. There's just, you know, no way that I would go, and I'm sure many of you are, I probably do that too. You've got computers that you've used and you've upgraded, and the kids are continuing to use one. But, you know, at the price that Steve Jobs paid or has priced on these items, it just, it doesn't make sense. But I'm sure they'll sell a lot of these. I'm not going to make the jump, not until iPad 3 at least. At a minimum, it'll all depend on what's coming out on the Droid side too, because some of the Droid offerings are starting to look pretty good. Hey, let's move into a little bit of legal news, and this is for those of you in Australia. The Australian Senate has passed legislation that would afford the same protections to bloggers, independent media, and citizen journals as employed by journalists. This is big. This is an amendment to the Shield Laws in Australia. And it's was debated by the Senate, and it's not going to keep people out of court, but it is going to give you some of the same procedures, and it's going to allow the courts to decide whether disclosure of a source is in the public interest. So this is great. This is fantastic news for bloggers, new media creators, and so forth, and citizen journalists in Australia. So good on them for doing that. This is a beautiful article. And, I've been messing with WebM. And let me tell you about my little journey with WebM so far. Matter of fact, I'll load the app for you. I was looking for a good converter. And finding a good converter to go from like a .avi to a WebM file. There's a few free ones out there, but they've been choking on my big long videos. So I went out and looked at Sorenson Squeeze. And this is like a $700 program to do video conversion. I couldn't believe it. And so I downloaded Sorenson Squeeze 7. And I loaded it up. I did a conversion. Went great. They gave me a 30-day free trial. And of course, it works. And you pay for that, that right to use that application. Let me see if I can bring this up real quick. And can I expand that any further? Let me go this way. Well, anyway, here's what the application looks like. And basically, there's a... Where's the other piece to this thing? There's another screen that normally pops up, but I don't see it. It's where you set the features that you want. And, there we go. Start Squeeze. There we go. Here comes the application. No, I don't want to purchase Squeeze. I've got 28 days left on my free trial. So here's the application. It's shown up for those of you watching the video. And you just basically import your file. You do set your settings, and you tell it to do the conversion, and it does it. And did it pretty well. It's a pretty long process, but it's got some batching features, which allows me to FTP the file once it's done, which is kind of cool. So from that standpoint, it's automated, and I can go to sleep, and in the morning, the file will already be uploaded. But how that relates to the story in the Wall Street Journal today is that web video rivalry is sparking a U.S. probe. The Justice Department is investigating whether a group representing top technology firms is unfairly trying to smother a free rival technology for delivering online video that is backed by Google. Now, this is gonna blow you guys away on this. This is huge. Now, the Wall Street Journal article goes on to say, much the way the firms battled in the 80s over VHS and Betamax, the tech rivals are fighting over the technology used to deliver and display web video. This is primarily talking about MPEG LA, which is the target of the formal antitrust probe. And MPEG LA is the group that controls the patents and is the setter of the royalty for H.264. Now, MPEG LA is largely held by Apple and Microsoft. So the antitrust enforcers are investigating whether MPEG LA or its members are trying to cripple an alternative form called VP8, which is basically when you do a VP8 encoding and put it up on the web, you end up with WebM. So essentially what's going on here is that Google, for intents and purposes, has apparently swayed the antitrust department or the Justice Department to start this antitrust investigation. And what I find amazing about this is here's the reasoning. They're saying, by creating legal uncertainty over whether users might violate patents by employing that technology, this is one of the primary reasons the antitrust group started. And this is true. We don't know. They could drop a bomb on us and say, okay, we're going to start collecting royalties in 2013 or 2014. And there are millions of videos that have been encoded in H.264 using MPEG-4. And this could be big. So California State Attorney's General's Office is already doing it as well. Here we've got this web video probe going on, and I'm playing with this Sorenson Squeeze, which is $700. I'll be honest with you, if Google wants to really get the adoption of WebM VP8 in the mainstream, they need to either buy Sorenson Squeeze or they need to release a great conversion tool. Now, if you're smart, you can do a command line. You can, and basically what happens is, is all of most of the, like I use Final Cut, I use Sony Vegas. If you take the video file that you've recorded, the master, and you want to convert that into whatever format it be, maybe for DVD or for the web, none of those software applications give you a VP8 production chain where, in other words, you can export or compress to VP8 natively and within the application. So what I've, what you have to do is you have to take that master, and for me, I'm working off masters that are in the .avi format, MPEG-2, and really high frame rates. We're running, you know, the TriCaster's recording at like 50,000 frame rates or something like that in 1080i. And you want to reduce that down to the WebM format. I know I'm going deep here into the minutiae, but you have to have an application that will convert that. And unless you can figure out the command line prompts and do it that way, you have to, you know, go out and buy an application like this Sorts and Squeeze. So in one hand, I understand why the Justice Department's doing this. And at the other hand, I'm pretty disgusted that, you know, I may be faced with a $700 purchase here in the next week or so if I want to get good quality WebM stuff. But it's the price I have to pay in order to make the web experience for people coming, consuming the content on whatever browser they come to, the best it can be. And so I've learned a lot more about WebM in really the last 5 days than I ever care to. But it's just another thing that you have to contend with in putting content up online. And, you know, and I hadn't paid attention to WebM up until Angela said, hey, I'm putting WebM functionality into PowerPress. I'm like, okay, tell me what I have to do. You know, I'm sitting here, it's 75 degrees out in Honolulu, and it's dark. It's an evening, I'm recording the show. And a mosquito has made it into this office and bit me right on the top of my foot. So what I'm doing, if you see me moving on those watching the video, I have a back scratcher here. And I'm scratching my mosquito bite on my foot. It's driving me crazy. He must have been on there for a while and took out about a gallon, because I can feel the bump that they leave is huge. Mosquitoes traditionally leave me alone. They stay away from me. They don't like my blood. My wife is the one that gets really tore up by them. But for me, I can be in a swarm of them and none will land. So I don't know. I guess it's just, it is what it is. All right. For those of you, let's move on to another topic here. For those of you that are Android users, you can add wireless printing to your Android phone with an app called Cloud Print. With Google's Cloud Print. Google's Cloud Print is a little rough around the edges, but it's looking pretty nice. You can use Dropbox and Cloud Print to fling almost anything you see or open on your Android over to your Windows connected printer. And you, basically, if you've got one of those nice HP connected printers, you can send it over there from that. So this is pretty cool. Of course, there's some other services as well, but this was an article up on Lifehacker in the show notes for you. How many of you like retro gaming? You know, I'm not talking about Pong, because that's almost prehistoric. But the folks over at MakeUseOf.com, and let me wait for this to load. I see the double-click ads trying to load. But the folks over at MakeUseOf.com have come up with 10 retro emulators to play early home consoles on your PC. Now, this we're talking 81, 86 time frame. So they've got some emulators for the Atari 5200, for the Vectrex. I don't even know what this box is, but this was back in 82. We've got the Emerson Arcata 2001. That looks like something that may have been in my house at one time when I was growing up. And, of course, some very famous games on that. They got the ColecoVision. That's 1982. That's about the time we didn't have a TV. I think my TV had blown up. My dad had not bought one for 3 years. We got the 83 Sega SG-1000. We got, the 1983 Nintendo Entertainment System. That was the first game box I ever bought on my own. And then we've got the 85 Sega Master System. So all these boxes, they've got hacks out there on how you can run these in an emulator mode and play early home console games. So for those, any of you that miss some of those original games, you'll definitely want to check out this article here on makeuseof.com. Also, there was a website I went to yesterday, and I got on the page, and I'm kind of looking at it, and it just didn't have the smell of being, how should I say it, a legitimate website. It was one I was unfamiliar with, had some stuff on there that looked a little fishy, and usually when my radar goes off like that, oops, let me go back to the main video here. When that happens, I have a tendency to just, you know, close the tab and walk away. But what was on there, I was interested in and wanted to check out. It was a software application. And so I went over and I basically Googled safe sites, how to tell if a site is safe. Or, you know, I was using all these different types of terms to basically try to figure out if this site had been reported for malware, for spyware. You know, I was doing kind of searching on the software that I wanted to trial and just, you know, trying to make sure what I was going to get ready to download was safe because, you know, if it's on certain sites, I'm very confident to download it from, but I just didn't get that warm and fuzzy. So I really couldn't proceed and I had to close it out. Well, today I'm doing getting ready for show prep and lo and behold, here's an article on 3 best resources to find sites with spyware and viruses. So what this application does, one of them is called Web of Trust. It's a browser plugin, works with all the major browser. It alerts users about potential spyware and viruses. And it does a whole bunch of stuff to determine whether or not the site is valid or not. It goes out to some of the phishing sites and actually sites that list phishing sites. And it does some cross checks. Another application that's out there is called Link Extend. It's another browser toolbar application, and it reports on stuff. And there's another one called URL Void and VScan, and so this is basically built on a website reputation basis, along with multiple ratings. It scans URLs for viruses and so forth. But anyway, I was just like, wow, where was this yesterday when I needed it? And it's funny how these articles pop up because I was facing this issue quite literally about 10 o'clock last night. And basically could, and it was on my hunt for WebM stuff. And so ultimately here, this is a, and it turns out that the site I was on by the Web of Trust application at least reported that site as safe. So it gave me a little bit warmer and fuzzy, but what are you guys doing now? How are you guys determining if you go into a site, whether or not it's safe? What are you using? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Let's talk about AirPlay here for just a second, kind of going back into iPad mode for a few minutes. Apparently, the iPad and iPhone users are going to be able to stream video from their app straight to their Apple TV now on almost all apps, not just limited to the ones that Apple wanted you to, although some of the apps probably are still going to block it. You're probably not going to be able to do this with Netflix. You're probably not going to be able to do it with the Hulu or any of those types of things. But apps like companies are making that are for new media and stuff like that, I could very well see that the AirPlay function being enabled and being able to be utilized. So this is pretty cool. And it goes along with another article we'll talk about a little later. It's actually an accessory for the new iPad 2, which I think many of you will like. But this AirPlay is coming to apps, of course, except probably for the ones you use. We'll see. But good news on that. Hey, HBO, you know, since we cut the cord, I really don't miss. There's only one program I miss on HBO, and I'd like to watch it. It's a show about mobsters. I can't even think. I think it's called The West Side or something like that. I had seen a couple of episodes for it, and I've been kind of looking online to see if I could find a place where I could watch that series. And so HBO has had some offerings online, but today they announced that they're going to be putting as many as 1,400 titles up, and this is up from 600 titles that are going to be on their new HBO Go service. So this is good, and I'm going to go over there and check that out. I don't know if you have to actually be an HBO subscriber to get that or not. If you can buy it online, I would probably do that, especially if this one particular show is on there. But have any of you used the HBO Go service? Are you guys using that at all? And if you are, what's your opinions of it so far? So love to hear feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, over at CBIT, a lot of set-top boxes running the Android platform. Now, when we were at CES, we saw two televisions that were running, I call them Android TV. But some people are building set-top boxes. There's some pretty cool video here. And this is from the folks from New TV and a part of the GigaOhm network that reported on this. And these are obviously prototype devices that aren't quite ready for production. But in Hanover, Germany, these prototypes were all over the place. And people were demoing them and showing some of the apps and some of the functionality. So I'm pretty excited with this particular offering because Android being open, you'll be able to build apps, build channels, and if these prices are what they say they're going to be, $60 for a potential set-top box running an Android set-top box or Android TV, this is awesome. Now, this is not to be confused, obviously, with Google TV, but all this is running on the Android OS, and some of these manufacturers are saying that this will ultimately lead to integration with Google TV. I don't know if that's the case or not, but sometime this year, we're going to start seeing an Android set-top box that's going to be available for us all to pick up. And I'll be first one. I'll line up to get the first one that's being sold, and we'll definitely make sure we get an app on there so that you can pick up one of these devices and make it your options in getting ready to cut the table. And there was an image put up online, and it was a demo being done in Best Buy. And the guy was incredulous. He couldn't believe what they were doing. Basically, they had two television sets set up. One was running Blu-ray, plugged in with an HDMI cord. And the other one was running a DVD connected via composite cable. So they were saying, hey, you know, what's better, DVD or Blu-ray? And they're trying to encourage people that, hey, Blu-ray's better. And look how bad that DVD picture looks. Bypass buying a DVD player and go straight to Blu-ray. Is that saying that Blu-ray is having trouble competing against DVD? And I apologize if I hadn't put that up for you. Need to pay attention to my switching positions here. But kind of a hokey setup there, if you ask me. But it just makes you want. Now, where's the boxes? Now, if they were smart in this setup, and for those of you that are listening, they basically have two tables with two flat screen TVs set up. Looks like the same model. And they're doing the comparison. But yet, if I was the sales manager trying to make this point, I'd have had Blu-ray DVD players stacked up behind this display where people could grab one and take it to the checkout counter. They didn't make it very compelling for someone to grab a product, but who knows if this was an authorized display or not, or something Best Buy was just trying to drum up and sell Blu-ray disc players. Over on Torrent Freak, BitTorrent Incorporated has released a dummy-proof download client, and basically, BitTorrent's had great success with uTorrent and mainline client, but what they're finding is that normally people load uTorrent up, and within 2 months they've deinstalled it from their machine. So what BitTorrent has tried to do is come up with a peer-to-peer application that shows content that is available to be downloaded legally. For example, some of the stuff they've got in the utility is the Khan Academy. They've got TED stuff. They've got stuff from UCast. They've got information there from different videos and so forth. They've got a podcast listing. I'm really excited about what they've done here with this. And I'm going to be checking this very, very closely, because if they've actually got a directory of podcasts that are being supported with BitTorrent downloads again, I'll start putting up a torrent for each of my shows because I think this is going to be big. But they've made this application to make it easier for people that don't understand peer-to-peer and also make it easier for people that are trying to find legitimate content available on the net, available for them to, you know, download using BitTorrent. So I'm pretty excited about this, and I'll let you know how it goes. We're going to be, as soon as I get my hands on this, I will be giving you a big report on it. Moving on, another article on Torrent Freak was talking about anti-piracy outfit basically suffering a huge denial of service attack, and they basically are blaming Usenet users. We've talked about the Dutch anti-piracy group called Bren before, and their site has been down for about a day now because they can't get online because of this denial of service attack. A denial of service attack happened to WordPress.com today as well. Sites like TechCrunch were offline. And that's what I surprised. I said TechCrunch is running on WordPress.com? How come they don't run their own servers? I run my own server and I have Geek News Central on its own box. Why can't TechCrunch, who's owned by AOL, run their own machines? I don't get it. I really don't. But anyway, TechCrunch and a bunch of big sites were offline and lasted for a couple of hours. So WordPress.com had a denial of service attack today that they had to deal with. They said it was their biggest ever. All right, over on thatsnotfunny.com. Wait till you see this. I saw this. I was like, oh man, I'm going to order this right away for my iPad. But sadly, this adapter that I'm going to show you here is only for the iPad 2. And what this does is it plugs into your iPad, and on one side, it's got an HDMI plug. And on the other, I don't know what is the other side. Is that a, what kind of a connector is that? Oh, it's got a digital AV adapter as well. So this is pretty cool. So this new dongle provides HDMI output, both audio and video, and in addition to incorporating, oh yeah, a data power pass-through. And of course, this is allow you now to hook up your iPad 2 to your television set. This is cool stuff. It really is. And sadly, it's only going to be for the iPad 2, and you're going to be able to see, you know, everything is going to be mirrored from your screen onto the television. And before, the only way you could do that was jailbreak your iPad if you wanted all your apps and stuff to be seen on your big screen. You could see certain things, but apparently this is going to allow mirroring, basically where what you see in your iPad is also seen on a television. So this is going to be, it's going to be big in the iPad world. And people that do iPad shows and do a lot of screen stuff with iPads, this is going to be a big bonus for them. For those of you that have Rokus, you did know that there is a Roku iPhone remote. So you can pick that up if you want to go out and get the application. You want to control your Roku through your iPhone. You can do so. That's available. That's been updated. A lot more features there, and they've got it looking pretty slick. So I've got this loaded on my iPhone. I've been using it for a while. Cost you $3. And the best thing I like about it is I've got a Roku in the bedroom. I got a Roku in the living room. So all I have to do is have my iPhone there on the charger in bed, and I can play the Roku. I don't have to worry about reaching for the remote. So it works pretty handy. And also, I've got it on my iPad too. So if you've got a Roku, this is pretty cool way to control your device. Remember when we talked about the folks from the U.S. Copyright Group and how they really got body slammed hard by the judges, and basically almost all their cases were thrown out? Well, the one remaining case in the District of Columbia in which the court stuff was filed, lawsuits were filed, there was only one defendant, and she was a single woman, and apparently papers were served. She did not respond to the summons, and they had to default a judgment against her for $30,000 plus $3,000 in attorney fees. Now, she did not really know what was going on. She didn't realize that this was a real lawsuit. And when she basically found out what was really going on past the deadline in which she was supposed to submit her, rebuttal or have a lawyer, intercede for her, she wrote a three-page a 3-page letter to the judge. And I'll just read the first like paragraph. She says, I'm not a person who breaks the law. In my 37 years, I've not got so much as a ticket for jaywalking. She says, I'm a certified home resource professional who works for an art education nonprofit in downtown Washington that introduces persons with disabilities to art. I'm also a classically trained singer. These two backgrounds require higher moral and ethical standards, which I'm proud to say I've carried throughout my both of these careers. I'm very sympathetic to the actual victims of copyright infringement. I know many of them. These are individuals who deserve to be heard in your court more so than the effort of the plaintiff. Why would I try to pilfer someone's work over the internet when I know how having their own work infringed upon has hurt my own colleagues? So she goes on and on and on. She says, I'm not it. I'm not the person that's done this. You've got the wrong person. So we will see what happens with this case and where this judge goes with this. It'll be very interesting to see how the court rules and what type of what the actual fine is. But this is, again, this U.S. copyright group who wants going after people for supposedly downloading a movie. But pay attention to what you get in the mail, folks. You know, default judgments are not good. Now, if you're streaming any type of TV, don't do it. The government will come bust your doors down, take your computers, and basically mess up your livelihood in a big way. A young gentleman by the name of Brian McCarthy, a 32-year-old, he was running a site called channelsurfing.net, got the complete treatment. He basically had his Gmail account taken away by the government. He was investigated where surveillance teams followed him around. They busted into his house, took his computers, took his domain names, and all kinds of stuff is happening to this individual. And he's been arrested for criminal infringement of copyright. And the sad part of it is he only links to content. He hasn't hosted the infringing content, but apparently the group doesn't care. He's been charged with reproduction and distribution over channelsurfing.net, from which he made at least $90,000 over the last 5 years by framing the stream content with his own ads. So, man, oh, man, they went to his PayPal account, went after his public records, did stuff against his ad network, on and on and on. So stay away from copyrighted material, folks. They are not playing. They really, really aren't. Okay, AT&T has added a new postpaid twist to the iPad tablet data plans. So what they've done here is AT&T has added a new postpaid data plan option, which now means that iPad and Galaxy Tab users, they let you add the charges to your monthly wireless bill. Pricing is still the same as the prepaid options, but at least the users off of the 2 gig per month plan get a much more sensible $10 per gigabyte on an overage charge. Now, what happened before is if you used your 2 gigs up, bam, they hit you for another $25. And still within your same 30-day period. It doesn't matter if it happened on day 29, they hit you for another $25. You used it for one day, boom, you got hit for another $25. So the postpaid option is going to be effective for both plans. And this is awesome. And I think this is a great way to go and maybe potentially limit your liability when it comes to a big surfing month on your tablet. Now, one thing that they've also confirmed today is that they have they're going to open up the iPhone hotspot feature. Now, it's going to cost you an additional $20. Wow, the company said that the pricing will remain the same as the current tethering model. So you have to have a tethering account. Customers must subscribe to the $25 data plan that gives them 2 gigs per month plus the extra $20 tethering charge that gives them an extra 2 gigs in all. It'll make it $45 per month for 4 gigs of data plus hotspot sharing when the feature arrives in iOS 4.3. So that's the pricing point that you're going to see on the Apple, on the iPhone. So you got to have tethering, and then you got to pay an extra $20 to get the additional bandwidth or the additional right to do this. So it's another total of $45 to do hotspot with your phone. You know, you can buy a Sprint, a little hockey puck, getting 4G, true 4G, for just about the same price, and you get 5 gigs. All right, malware in Android market. Boy, oh boy, this is crazy. Google has removed 21 applications from the Android market. I'm telling you, this is where people are going to get in trouble. We've talked about this a number of times already on the show. I love this caption that they put in the website at Ars. You know, the gal's holding up an Android symbol, and there's a cockroach climbing off it. A full list of the 21 programs that Google shut down can be found at Android Police, at androidpolice.com. And if you've loaded one of these things, be forewarned, you may have had some information stolen already. But a huge, huge article about this on Ars. I'm not going to go into full details. We know the ramifications of this. And obviously, that's maybe one thing where Apple's got an up on them, where they're controlling which apps are getting into the App Store. They're making sure they're not getting this monkey business going down. So speaking of monkey business in the UK, Labour Minister Lord West is urging an email snooping crackdown. He says that some ISPs have trialed software that intercepts and scans emails to send targeted ads to their customers. He says that the ISPs are supposed to ask permission first, but says it's too easy to flout the rules, and that he wants something done about this. He says there's blatant abuse, and there's targeting, and there's snooping going on in people's emails, and he wants it to stop. So I guess, he's the former labor minister, excuse me, but he's got a pretty powerful article here on the BBC. So I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out, and it's in the News UK politics section. All right, remember when Scotty in the Star Trek would say, beam me up? Well, or Spock, or, you know, Captain Kirk, tractor beam is possible with lasers, says scientists. And that's all I got to say. That statement in itself is going to make you Trekkies and everyone else smile. Tractor beam is possible with lasers, say scientists. And they've actually kind of proved it already in Germany. Austrian researchers have proved it. I have the link up in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But soon, yes, beam me up. Now, folks in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil have gotten smart. They've been using Twitter to outsmart the cops' drunk driving blockades, where they basically have roadblocks set up. It's basically they do that here in the United States, where, you know, you leave the bar at 1:30 in the morning, you drive down the street, and there's your local sheriff. He's waiting to run you through the gauntlet, where you have to blow in a device, and if you come up with a little alcohol in your breath, you have to go do the test. Well, apparently, because this has been so effective by people leaving bars in the middle of the night, and they've been having outmaneuver the police have gotten smart. They've been logging on to Twitter and setting up decoy locations to reroute people in different directions in order to catch them. So it's a cat and mouse game is going on. And the police are fighting back by going on Twitter and battling back. So I thought this was pretty funny. So, you know, the police are getting smarter for sure. Republicans in the House of Representatives introduced a bill today that would permanently stop the Environment Protection Agency from regulating emissions blamed for warming the planet. So this bill is to axe EPA carbon rules. I'm sure there are some in this show that are completely for that and some that are completely against. I would love to hear your thoughts on this process. Of course, getting the Senate to agree would be a wholly different situation. That's what we're seeing with the budget right now. But it's interesting. It is interesting that it's not surprising that the Republicans are going after this. But what's even more surprising, they're saying that some Democrats may find it hard to vote against the bill that aims to stop regulation. Some businesses say will shut factories and hurt jobs. So they're trying to stop the carbon credit stuff going on. So we'll see where that goes. The FCC today moved to redirect phone subsidies for the poor. The FCC took steps to reworking two programs that provide telephone subsidies for low-income residents, with the commission calling for part of the funding to support broadband services. So what they're estimating here is that those of us that are not paying this fee, that only have broadband, the FCC wants to make broadband part of the cash cow, I guess. So the USF, the Universal Service Fund, the Lifeline, and the LinkUp programs, which are part of the USF, they want to collect more money, so they're going to go after, it looks like they're going to go after our broadband bills and assess that that fee, which will help the those folks that are less fortunate. So if this is really working for the less fortunate, I would be very happy to pay, you know, to pay into this. But the thing is this really, are these two funds, are these two programs, the Life Assistance and LinkUp America program, is that really helping folks that are lower income? Please, if you know anyone that's been affected by any of these two programs, please tell me, because until today, I knew about the Universal Service Fund, but I didn't know about Lifeline Assistance and LinkUp America. You know, I've had some friends that have been, man, they have been really hurt and bad. They could have used some assistance in getting connectivity or even a phone. So I don't know if it does individuals or if it's in states or how it works, but they're going to look like they're going to go after our broadband bills and tax a part of it. A little more on the science front. The scientists have determined that masses of ice in the Antarctic form underneath the ice sheet instead of on top. Now, haven't they just been digging or drilling through the ice to find cores that are, you know, literally thousands and tens and thousands of years old? And they're saying that ice is now forming underneath ice? That's pretty crazy stuff. It says a full 24% of the ice sheet on Dome A is made up of refrozen ice. And that's largely where most of it's coming from because of underground rivers and so forth. And they're saying that some of this deep layer ice is caused by that. So we'll see. We'll see what else they come up with. My link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Have you ever wondered who takes care of the time zone data on our computers? Well, there's actually a person that maintains the time zone database. And up to this point, it's been maintained by some guy. And he's getting ready to retire. So the IANA is going to assume operational responsibilities relating to the management of the time zone database. And they're looking for community, you know, comments and so forth. I didn't even know that there was time zone servers, but apparently there is. And they are going to be taken over by the IANA. Here's an interesting one. Groupon has been sued for having short expiration on coupons. This is a class action lawsuit. And this is interesting because the latest lawsuit that Groupon is being sued for is for having ad deals expire too soon under the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act of 2009. When you were getting like a gift card, they're not supposed to expire for 5 years. So they're saying that the Groupon coupons that you're buying, which is almost really a gift card, should not have these short expiration dates. They should be valid for at least 5 years. I think they're giving a coupon, not a gift card, but it can be, I'd kind of interpret some of the stuff Groupon does as a gift card because you got to bring your piece of paper in. So we'll see where this goes. This may be a little bit misguided, but who knows if this falls underneath the Credit Card Accountability Responsibility Disclosure Act of 2009. If you live in Connecticut, there's a new bill on the street that's going to make it illegal for police to tell you to stop recording them, which is kind of cool. Hey, you know that that Air Force space plane? Well, I guess they got a second one. At least that's what the news is saying here on Wired. And they're about ready to send it back into space. The U.S. Air Force is sending the Boeing-built X-37 robotic space plane back into space. Of course, no one knows what it's got on board. And the first one that was launched last year did a 225-day mission, but this is apparently a second one that they have. And I tell you, the Air Force, they're good at squirreling money away. You know, the Navy has to scrounge, but the Air Force, they always seem to find money. And I guess they have a bigger congressional support, but who knows? Who knows what they're doing with this thing? One can only speculate. All right, Scoble's saying that he really likes TechCrunch's new Facebook comments, and a lot of sites are switching to this. They're going strictly to Facebook comments. They're removing, like, the Discus comments, and they're only using Facebook-enabled comments. I don't know about that. But they're saying that the quality of the comments have went up considerably, and also it really kind of, they don't get these anonymous, you know, made-up accounts. They're able to, people are that are writing comments, to, it's, you know who they are, and I think it cross-posts to your Facebook posting as well. So I can understand why that would come up instead of people trying to, you know, set up fake Discus accounts and make comments on websites. So I'm going to have to go over and take a look at this. I haven't encountered it yet, but I will. Hey, there's a good article. We're on ABC.com talking about tech meme versus Hacker News, and I read both of these websites religiously. So I have that link up in the show notes for you. If you don't read it, then don't worry. I'll cover what they cover in the show along with other sites as well. I think tonight we got one article off of tech meme and two or three off of the Hacker News feed for the day. How many of you guys have played this Angry Birds? I have never played Angry Birds, and I probably don't even know what it looks like, but the Angry Bird app has hit 30 million downloads on Android. I am in the wrong business. Have any of you updated your Twitter app on the iPhone? Why did I do it? They're punching ads to me now in the Twitter app. It really is annoying. Delay in updating your Twitter app on your iPhone, folks, okay? A couple more things here. If you're using Google Chrome, make sure you enable the hardware acceleration and pre-rendering tab. I'll have the link up in the show notes on how to do that, especially if you've got a good GPU-accelerated chip inside your PCs, which most computers do today. Some of your more inexpensive, you know, $399 tablets and so forth will not. But hardware acceleration is the way to go to get faster renderings of your video within your browser. And, oh, I don't want to say who, but a certain industry is introducing 3D video. It's led everything in video, and they're going to be making their content available in 3D. And I'm just thinking about that, and I'm like, please, no. I don't get it. Well, there is an audience for this 3D, but this is going to be available. They're going to have content. They're going to have live streaming and some stuff up on set channels. I will not even link to the link, but I'll let you guys do your own analysis on this. Okay, boy, oh boy. You heard about the latest swamp gas sighting of a UFO? Well, there's a good YouTube video, but we're only 8 days away from a certain movie getting ready to come out. The graphics were okay on this one. Not as good as the Israel hoax, but this is over on Dvorkin Censored. I'll have that link up in the show note for you. And also, I found a good YouTube parody video of the VW, the Force Super Bowl commercial. This is a funny one. The ending is a little, how should we say? Well, I can't say because I'll ruin it. Just watch the spoof on that, and I think you'll laugh. Hey, Google was taking people out on with their self-driving cars during the TED conference today. The video was cool in the showing the Google self-car driving in action, and it was racing around on a parking garage roof. It was pretty nuts what they were doing. But the thing that irritates me is Google is an American company. Why are they driving a Toyota? Yes, their test car was a Toyota. Don't they know they should buy American? Nothing against foreign cars, but it's an American company doing test stuff with a car. You should be using a... All right, Netflix or iPad updated with a new custom UI, but lost features included you're not going to be able to do DVD queuing anymore on the new iPad Netflix app, which I kind of wish they wouldn't have took away. But you are going to be able to check out the new UI. It's a lot cleaner, a little bit easier to use. Last couple of articles here. Ford Sync is coming to 19 countries. Canada, UK, French, Spanish, Brazil. It's going to be in Germany and Portugal. These are the languages that are going to be supported. Australian English, Taiwanese, Japanese, Korean, Arabic, Mandarin, Chinese, Turkish, Russian, Italian, Dutch, Portuguese, German, Brazilian, Portuguese, Spanish, French, UK English, Canadian French, and US English and Spanish. So Ford Sync is expanding voice recognition in those language types. So Sync is going global. A couple articles over on Geek News Central that I wanted to have you check out is the article about Gmail being finally fixed. Any of you get affected by the Gmail loss of email? I did not get an email from any listeners. I'm supposing you didn't, but were you affected? And if you weren't, you can check that article out. We got a new writer on Geek News Central, too. I want to welcome Don to our writing team. And he put up a new article, his first article today, talking about the iPad 2 smart covers. And basically he says they're not the smartest covers we've seen. And I'll link up in the show notes. One thing I did think was interesting about the iPad smart covers was that they have a carbon-based cleaning pad in them, kind of like something I demoed or actually got to see at CES. So anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. And final article of the night is a cool 10-minute video. With those of you that are Windows fans, if you wanted to get some, you know, go back in time, this gentleman spent about a day doing nothing but he set up a virtual machine, and he started with DOS 5.0, and he went and did every install of every Windows version from DOS 5.0 all the way through Windows Vista, and showed you how the process went from each step, from one step to the next. It's a 10-minute video, kind of cool in retrospect to make you think, man, we've come a long ways. But anyway, that link will be up in the show notes for you to check out here. All right, let me go ahead and jump right into the email comments that we've got. Let's see here. Let me wait for that to load. And I think we're good now. Tracker Tom sent me an email, says, hey, Todd, found this interesting on the Drudge Report. TSA plans to body scan pedestrians, train passengers. And this was an article on Forbes, and they're saying they're going to potentially be doing this. TSA denies it initially, but they say they're going to be scanning people as far as 30 feet away. So, you know, you're walking down the street, and they're going to scan you, and you don't even know it. Got an email here from Bruce, longtime listener of the show. He said, hey, Todd, quick one about your preferences for Heinz ketchup. Your actions are not unreasonable, as my condiment of choice is Hellmann's mayonnaise. Now, Bruce... Hellmann's mayonnaise, oh my God, gag me. I cannot eat that. Anyway, I'm glad you love it. I'm glad someone buys it. I can't do it. But going on here, what he says, my condiment of choice is Hellmann's mayonnaise, and if it's not Hellmann's, it gets sent back. In some instances, this is enough to never go back there. Like yourself, enjoying life and food, I could do with losing a few pounds, but not at the expense of taste. So leave that light stuff on the shelf. Without idiosyncrasies, what would we have to rant about? Keep up the good work. Regards, Bruce in the UK. And the thing is, I guess I'm not a true mayonnaise connoisseur, because what I really like on my sandwich is Miracle Whip. And I know that is not mayonnaise, but, I grew up with Miracle Whip, and, I know it's a dressing, it's not mayonnaise, but you can take almost any kind of regular mayonnaise. And you know, I don't even think we have real mayonnaise in the house. But I definitely don't drink Hellmann's, that's for sure. Got an email here from Andrew. He said, hey, Todd, Seagate is shipping a 3-terabyte drive for under $300, but it has to make 2 partitions. Oh, that sucks. Anyway, thanks for that. I think that's it. We did get one from Trucker Tom just before the show closed last time. He said, robotic shutdown briefly strands astronauts. We did talk about that in the last show. And maybe this one didn't come in either. Talked about a solar fan that Costco sells. So everyone that sent links in, I definitely appreciate it. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the 652nd edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Don't forget here. Oh, we need to give that Apple TV away. Holy smacks. I almost forgot. Let me bring up the sheet. I would have gotten yelled at. Probably people are going to say, you didn't give it away. Our winner is Anthony Yates. Anthony Yates of Los Angeles. You are our winner of the Apple TV. So congratulations, Anthony Yates. Thank you for your donation. You know, I got a buddy that's named, well, his real name's Anthony Yates. He lives on the East Coast. It's not the same Anthony, but small world. Anthony, congratulations for winning this, and you've got yourself an Apple TV, and I'll send you an email tonight. And thank you for your PayPal donation of $18. I don't know why it was 18, but it was 18. But anyone that wants to donate to the show, you can do so by sending a PayPal donation to podcast@podcastconnect.com. Any donations to the show are appreciated. Or just become an insider. You know, the $2 a month plan is available at geeknewscentral.com/. No one that does tech shows give you as much tech as I do. Okay. At least if they do, please tell me about it. I try to always give you the most money for your buck here, or for most of you for free. But congratulations to Anthony, and thanks to everyone that donated. It was greatly appreciated. We did raise enough money to cover the cost and have a few extra dollars left over to go into the support fund. So that was great. All right, everyone else, hey, thanks. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. And until then, aloha.